Okay, I'm going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, there's nothing that I have that I can share with your people without your anointing, without the leading and guiding of your Holy Spirit. Man's word does not produce life. It's your word, Father. Your living word that produces life. Your word is what changes us. You say in the scripture that you came in the volume of the book. And Father, we thank you for knowing that your word is full of truth. It's your desire that we become more and more in the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And you've even made a way for that to happen. So, Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This time of the year is known for people giving and getting gifts. And I want to review something tonight that it never hurts for us to be reminded of. And it was brought to me as a result of Lenora sharing on that Sunday and what Pastor Mark's been talking about when he's been talking about the teaching on joy. Have you ever been told that a certain gift you wanted or coveted is no longer available? You ever been told that in the real world? Well, there's another gift that's a very special gift that, unfortunately, my wife and I were told that this gift no longer existed for us as Christians. And that gift that I'm talking about was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were told by someone standing behind a platform like this that it was only for the apostles. Didn't exist for today. And that was a lie. That was a lie. Because we happened to be down here in Florida, and we'd gone to the person that was ministering that night was Jerry B. Walker, and the Spirit of the living God fell upon that place and that church that night. And we're standing up praising and worshiping God. And my wife gets touched by the Holy Spirit and begins speaking in tongues. And falls out in the Spirit. And I'm standing there in my natural flesh man, hearing the words that particular pastor of a small little church in Long Island, New York had spoken. And when I heard those words over again, what came out of my mouth is, Lord, someone's lying. And I know according to your word, because I hadn't been saved very long, but the limited amount of knowledge that I had of God's word, I had already read the scripture that says, God is a God that cannot lie. I said, someone's lying. I said, my wife is baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and I'm not. And the reason I'm not is because that thing got lodged in my heart. that it wasn't for today. And I am sure glad that God revealed the truth regarding the baptism of the Holy Ghost to my life, because it's one of the most special gifts that you and I can ever receive from God the Father, other than our salvation. And it has a special, special purpose. And let's go to Luke 3:16 first. I want to look at some scriptures and review some things. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says, John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Go on down to verse 21 and 22, if you can put those up together, guy. It says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" Now let's go over to John chapter 1, and let's read a couple of verses there. John 1, for some reason the light's not very bright, but that's okay. Verse 33, "And I did not know him," I'm reading out of the Amplified, "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" We just saw who that was. That was Jesus. Jesus is the one that baptizes you and I with the Holy Spirit. Now, The reason I'm kind of reviewing this is because at the time that we're living and being the Christmas time, we're so blessed to have been taught the truth regarding the Holy Spirit. We are so blessed. Go over to Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to look at verses 4 and 5. You can put up just verse 4 to start with, guy. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" Verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And we know that in Acts 1, one 6, It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath. Hath put in his own authority. Verse 8. But he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How many of you remember the day you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And all of a sudden, when you went back and you started to look at the Word of God and you started to read the Word of God, it was not the same. Because you had been empowered, you'd received the power. It's like, and that's what's going on in the world today. It's like that outlet right there. That outlet has power going to it. There's power in the Holy Ghost. God intended for there to be power in the Holy Ghost. But if you don't plug into it, if you don't plug into that outlet with a cord so you can get power to where you need to go, it's just an outlet. It's a power source, but you're not tapped into the power. And it's the same thing with the Holy Ghost. He desired that you and I would have the power of the Holy Ghost. Put up John 20, chapter 20, verses 21, put up 20, 21. John 20, 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father hath sent me, also I send you. Put up 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It's God's desire that you and I, as sons and daughters of the Most High, receive the Holy Spirit. See, the person that told me it wasn't for today never gave me any of these scriptures that I've just read to you. But yet, throughout Scripture, it's God's desire that we receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost more today than we ever have in the history of the church. Because of what's going on, and what's going to take place. Now, let's go to John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. Because, you know, when Lenora was talking, she kept using over and over and over again, being led by the Holy Spirit, being directed by the Holy Spirit. You know, things that were taking place, she was being led by the Holy Spirit. Pastor Mark's been talking about joy. But I want you to take a look at, let's start in verse 15. Oh, thank you, guy. You're already ahead of me. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Who's speaking here? Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. King James says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he shall abide with you forever. That word comforter means someone who comes alongside, someone who's an intercessor, someone who's there for you. Have you ever been, well, I'm going to tell them myself. The time I spent in the New York City metropolitan area, you can ask my wife, I developed a very bad habit. I developed a very bad habit, and that bad habit was I walked very fast. We would go somewhere, and I'd be three or four steps ahead of Sue, and she would say, you mind waiting up? And it was a bad habit. See, she didn't want to walk behind me. She wanted to walk alongside me. And sometimes we're like that with the Holy Spirit. We're wanting to go, whew, and the Holy Spirit's going, no, come back here. Let me stay with you. Let me walk alongside you. Let me walk with you. And then in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit dwells with us, and the Holy Spirit is in us. But what's he called here? The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will always guide you and me in that which is of the truth. If we're uncertain, and let's face it, is the world we're living in a world of nothing but truth? No. If you think that, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you more, because the world is lying more and more, is deceiving more and more, is doing everything contrary to the truth. There's a new movie out. I was just telling Sue last night. There's a new movie coming out that portrays Jesus as a homosexual. How far is that from the truth? It's a lie and it's a deception. But yet there will be people that so call themselves Christians that will actually watch that movie. I won't even give it the time and day of it, because the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to watch those lies and deception, because he doesn't want them to go in. It says, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. See, you and I know him. We had to come to a place where we were born again. We had to receive Jesus. And as a result of receiving Jesus, we now have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, abiding in us. For he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is residing in this temple. The Holy Spirit is residing in your temple. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Excuse me. Once again, Jesus is speaking here. And he says, first thing he says, I will not leave you comfortless. What a promise. He's not going to leave you or I comfortless. Then he says, I will come to you. Jesus, the Son of God, when you or I cry out to him, he comes to us because of the indwelling spirit that's in your heart and that's in my heart. Then he goes on to say, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me because I live, you shall also live. Verse 20. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps me, it is he who loves me. So what's the stipulation? You hear people in the church, you hear people in the world, you run across someone and you're going to share and witness to them. They go, oh, I love God. Oh, I love Jesus. What does this say here? It says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. That's a stipulation. You know, just rolling that off our tongue, oh, I love Jesus, I love... No. If you really love Jesus based upon what Jesus says in his own words, you have his commandments and you keep them. You do what this book says. That's what Jesus is saying here. It says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's a great promise. That's a great promise. Verse 22, it says, Judas said unto him, not the Judas that betrayed him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? What does Jesus say again in verse 23? Jesus answered and said unto him, here we go again. This two-letter word, we like to bypass a lot of times in Scripture. If a man love me, what will we do? We will keep his words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Make his home with us. King James word, make our abode with him. Verse 24. So in verse 23 it says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now look at what verse 24 says. He that loves me, he that does not love me, does not keep my words. Very distinct. Very distinct separation between those who love God and those who don't love God. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. See, that's what Jesus did. Jesus only spoke what he saw his Father do. And he only did what he knew his Father did. That's a whole different teaching. That's another lesson, very valuable lesson. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. Wow. You ever heard the saying, if it's not in you, you can't bring it to remembrance? We've been taught in this body, from Pastor Bill to Pastor Mark, we have to know what God's Word says. You and I have to know what God's Word says. Because when we know what God's Word says, and we don't know what the future is going to bring, but if we have God's Word in our hearts, guess what the Holy Spirit will do? He'll bring those things to remembrance in your difficult times, in your times that you need direction, in your times that you need guidance. He'll bring to remembrance. And what else he does? What else does the Holy Spirit do? He teaches you all things. Teaches you all things. What does all leave out? Nothing. Then in verse 27, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The times in which we're living in, could our hearts be troubled? Could we be afraid because we don't know what the future is going to bring? Does God know what the future holds? Does God know what this new year brings? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. See, his disciples were struggling with him going away. But in order for you and I to have the greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts we could ever receive as a Christian, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus had to go away. Jesus had to go away. Verse 29, and now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. And verse 30 and 31, it says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world is cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. The devil's a liar. There is no truth in him. But yet Jesus had to depart. But he never left you and I without a helper. He never left us comfortless. He provided the Holy Spirit. Now then, let's go over to same book, John, chapter 16. And we're going to take a look at some of these scriptures. Let's start in verse 4. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. He didn't need to tell them. He didn't need to tell them. Verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? He'd already told them he was going to depart. They didn't like that, but no one said, Master, where are you going? Verse 6, but because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. What's Pastor Mark been talking about? Joy. Sorrow has filled your heart. Let's go to verse 7. So we just read that sorrow has filled her heart. There's a number of reasons that that sorrow probably filled her heart. I wrote down a few that came to mind. They were sorrowful at the loss of the relationship that they had established with Jesus. His disciples were sorrowful because he's saying, I'm going to go away. And they're going, wait a second. You know, you're our master. They were sorrowful at the humiliation that their master was probably going to have to take. They were sorrowful because all they had hoped for was going to be gone. There's more things they were sorrowful for. But in verse 7, nevertheless, verse 6, it just talks about sorrow filled their hearts. But in verse 7, he goes, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. When does Jesus not tell the truth? Never. Jesus always speaks the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now, sorrow just filled her heart. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. I'm going, how can that be to my advantage that you're going away? I'm going to be left here. We know that the prince of this world, Satan, is going to be in charge. And how is that good that we're going to be down here and you're no longer here? It says, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus had to do what he had to do. He had to go away. Otherwise, you and I would never, ever be able to experience that great gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, and I've read these scriptures many times, and I just started looking at them, and the Lord just said, I want you to see some things. Verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, go to verse, there you go. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Before you got saved, you thought you were okay, didn't you? But you know what? God, I wrote this down. Everyone has a God consciousness. Whether we want to admit it or not, every person in this earth has a God consciousness. Everyone knows that there's something missing. There's a void somewhere. That's a God consciousness. Something's not missing. Well, the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit starts to convict us of our sin, that we're not right with God, that we've missed the mark. That's what sin is, missing the mark. Somewhere we missed you, God. That's how I got saved. My prayer was not, you know, a sinner's prayer. My prayer was, Lord, I don't know whether you're real or not. But you know what? I've been living this life my way, and it's not working. If you're real, reveal yourself to me. And guess what the Holy Spirit did? I just invited the Holy Spirit at that time to start to convict me and show me where I missed the mark, show me that I had no right standing with God, and if I didn't get it right, there was going to be a judgment that was going to come upon my life at some point in time. I didn't grow up in the church. I went to summer Sunday school classes as a Methodist in a small little town I grew up, but I never really heard the true gospel. But see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit begins to work on that heart, takes that God consciousness that we have and begins to show us the errors and deceptions of our ways and begins to show us the truth. If I were to take a poll of everyone in here tonight, the first time you probably came to this church and you heard some of the things that Pastor Bill was teaching or Pastor Mark was teaching, you're going, something's not right here. And I'm not saying that because they were teaching the wrong thing. They were teaching the truth, and any untruth that you had in your heart or my heart, all of a sudden the Word of God and the Holy Spirit were going after it and saying, no. That's not the truth. And then as they continued to teach in God's Word and the Holy Spirit came in to enlighten and to show us the truth of what they were speaking, we got changed. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Verse 13. Well, I'm going to go to verse 12 first. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. You know, we're getting ready to go into a new year, and I strongly believe that God has many things He wants to say to you and I. There's many things He wants to speak to us about this up and coming year in our relationship with God. And verse 13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you of things to come. He just said, I yet have many things to say unto you, but now He's saying He will tell you of things to come. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us and show us of things to come. I learn a lot from my wife, okay? Because I don't think I've ever told her this. I was re-listening some messages by Brother Clint Denon the last probably 3 weeks. And Brother Clint Denon was very close with Ten Boom. What was her name? Corrie Ten Boom. And in one of the messages, he was saying, we'd be driving in the car in Long Island, and he goes, I never knew whether she was talking to me or she was talking to Father, because she was in constant communication with the Holy Spirit. And my wife has a very good communication with the Holy Spirit. They're talking all the time. And I'm not at the same place, okay, sometimes. That's why you have heard her said, Lord, did you ask the Lord what he wanted you to do? You've heard me say that many times. Because, see, the Holy Spirit will not waste your time. The Holy Spirit will not waste my time. But we don't allow the Holy Spirit to be the one that comes alongside to walk with us in everything we do. We want to say, just sit over here, Holy Spirit. Just rest. You've been working a lot. Just take a little breather. We get in big trouble when we ask the Holy Spirit to take a big breather. Verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He's going to take from the Father and declare it to you and I. And we know that our Heavenly Father knows the beginning to the end. And he knows all that is in between. But yet, how many times do we get bent out of shape because we're going, oh, you just don't understand what I'm going through, Lord? Yeah, he does. He knew the day that the trial or tribulation was going to begin, and he knows when it's going to end. And he's wanting us to rely upon the Holy Spirit, the one that he had to send to us so that we would not be without help to walk us through it. Why? Because he loves us. And it's one of the greatest gifts that we can ever receive. And you know what's great about the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Lord, for reminding me this because I forgot to write this scripture down. How many times in your walk with the Lord, you're not sure what you should do? Go to Romans 8:26, guy. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. None of you in here ever feel weak? No. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Oh. Everyone in here knows exactly what to pray. All the time, 100% of the time. Not true. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But, ha ha ha. I did a teaching on the word but. And I learned something very valuable about that word, but. When you see but, it negates everything that was said before it. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searches, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we don't know what we need to do, by praying in the Holy Ghost, by praying in other tongues, we are praying in our heavenly language, and the Spirit is praying exactly what we need to pray in that situation and circumstance. What a gift. What a gift that is. That's okay. Never hurts to rehear the word again. You know? You can play that over and over. Sometimes we need to play it over and over until it gets lodged in our heart. You know? Let's go back to John 16. Don't feel bad because the Lord knew that was going to happen. Okay, where was I? Okay. Verse 15. Where am I there? Yeah. John 16, 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. Verse 16. Remember, in John 14 and now in 16, he keeps saying this same thing over and over again. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will not see me, because I go to the Father. Pastor Mark referred to that passage in Hebrews 12 when he talked about the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. See, just as he's speaking right here, a little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while you will not see me because I go to the Father. Even on the cross, he was looking beyond the cross. He was looking beyond the beatings. He was looking beyond the scourging. He was looking beyond the side being pierced and the blood flowing out. He was looking beyond the cross because he was going to be able to be reunited with Father God and be able to sit on his right hand forever and ever and ever. You think he was not excited? You think you wouldn't have joy? It says, verse 17. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you'll not see. How many times has he said that to them already? And now it finally, oh, wait a second. Now it hits them. A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will not see me. Oh, thank you. See, I have the Holy Spirit as a helper, and I have my wife as a helper. Thank you for speaking up. Let me reread that. Let me read it correctly. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Got the wills mixed up there. And because I go to the Father, verse 18, they said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while? We do not what he's saying. Verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring? He's playing dumb. Jesus is playing dumb here. Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me? And again, a little while, and you will see me? Go to the next verse. Most assuredly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. Isn't that what he already told them? That sorrow would be in their hearts? Will be sorrowful, but your sorrow, will be turned into what? What's Pastor Mark started teaching on? Joy. Go to the next verse. A woman, now he makes a comparison. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that a human being has been born into the world. Verse 22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. The joy that Pastor Mark is starting to teach on, the world didn't give it to us, and the world can't take it away. It's a joy that's only been given to us by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Next verse. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. And I hope I'm not taking some scriptures that Pastor Mark's going to share on joy, because I really enjoy that teaching. But our joy is going to be full because Jesus went away so that he could send the greatest gift that you and I could receive other than our salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he had to do that. Jesus had to go away so he could send the Comforter, so he could send the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside, the one who leads us, the one who guides us. How do you know when the Holy Spirit's leading? What's that? Things are going right. Let me ask you some questions then. Does the Holy Spirit push? Does the Holy Spirit pressure? Does the Holy Spirit shove? No. But yet, all those things I just said are typical of the world. The world will pressure. The world will push, the world will shove. But yet, I have talked to brothers and sisters that are in a situation and are feeling pressure to do something or to act a certain way. And they make a decision, and it's not God's purpose and plan at that time when they make a decision, because it wasn't the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I've learned, because I've made that mistake myself, I've learned that when I feel pressure, I feel shoving, and all the other things, I've learned to be still and know that He's God. Because the Holy Spirit leads, He guides, He comforts, and He guides into all truth. He's not going to mislead us. Holy Spirit's not going to mislead us. He has no desire to mislead you or to mislead me. Verse 24. What else does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? Go over to 1 Corinthians. He does a lot. Let me make sure that's the right scripture. Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, it talks about the body and the many members. It's going through a whole list of things. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? One of the things the Holy Spirit does? And when someone gets saved, especially outside the church, not in here, because if they get saved inside these walls, you're going to encourage them to become part of the fellowship. So they get guidance, they get direction, they get led and taught. But I learned this a long time ago. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians 12, 18. But now hath God set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. If I were to take a poll of where you all came from, you were led by the Holy Spirit to the Christian Service Center. You were set in here as members of this body to grow in the things of God. That was all the Holy Spirit. You were led here. We were led from Long Island, New York to come here. In 1988, we started coming here in 1980. We were led to come here in 1980. But who led us to come here? The Holy Spirit. And you know why? You know why he led us to come here? You know why he led you to come here? Because somewhere in the recesses of your heart, you had a desire to know the truth of God's Word. And he knew where he had to send you, that you would get the uncompromised Word that would cause you to be changed. We're still changing. But see, we've been blessed by Pastor Bill, by Pastor Mark, and others who have taught. Primarily, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mark, none of you know, only God knows, the price they have paid and are paying for taking an uncompromised stand. Because you know who's at the top of the totem pole that Satan hates? He hates them. He absolutely hates them. And he will try in every way possible to bring them down. He's got all those fiery darts that he's... But you know what? As this book says, I know the end. You know the end. He was a loser from the beginning and he's still a loser. He has no power, he has no jurisdiction over Pastor Mark, over Christine, over Elnora. He tried to take Pastor Bill out many a times. But you know what? There's a greater one living on the inside. Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit is abiding not only with you, but in you. Don't ever, ever believe that, and don't ever let anyone else tell you that the Holy Spirit is not for today, and don't let anyone ever tell you that the Holy Spirit's not necessary. The Holy Spirit is vital. The Holy Spirit is that power source that you and I get to plug into every single day. And when you're feeling weak, one of the things that I've learned, you know, when our phones are getting low in power and battery juice, what do? We plug them in and we charge them up. What is our spiritual charger that God has given us? Praying in tongues. Start praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, the world is just now catching up with God. You know, the technology is, we have quick charges now. God's had quick charges from the beginning of time. You know, just start praying in the Holy Ghost and watch how quick you get charged up, spiritually charged up. There's so many things that are going on in the world today that are not new. But the world wants us to believe that. But yet, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, wants to reveal to you and I things this new year that He knows is coming down the road for us to pray for us to believe Him for us to trust Him regarding, because He knows. He knows the beginning from the end. But He's wanting to lead you and I in that direction and path that He has, not only for us as individuals, but for us as a body, to accomplish what He needs to accomplish to usher in the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, I cannot thank You enough for Your precious Holy Spirit. I can't thank You enough for revealing the lies that were spoken to me and spoken to my wife that it wasn't for today. But yet, Father, there are still people that are being told, you don't need that. Yeah, we can get by as a Christian. Yes, it doesn't determine whether we make it all the way, but I'm going to tell you, Father, I do not know how we can live in the world that we're living in now when the forces of hell are getting more prevalent and stronger than they ever have been without that power source to charge our spirits, to lead us and guide us into all truth, to be there with us, to be there to guide us and direct us, Father. And even when we don't know, even in our weakness, and even when we don't know what to pray, Father, the Holy Spirit can still give us the mind of Christ and cause us to pray perfectly according to Your will, so that what needs to be accomplished in that particular event or situation or circumstance will be accomplished according to Your plans and Your purposes. So, Father, we thank You. We celebrate many things during this time of the year. We receive many gifts. But, Lord, we thank You for Your precious gift of the Holy Spirit. So precious, Lord. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.